WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this hump day. That's right, it is Wednesday, May 18th, 2016. We've got a great show, as we always do, each and every weekday afternoon here on WKAR AM 870. On today's show, we'll chat about some comments to Tom Izzo, head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team. Some comments that Izzo made concerning Deontay Davis saying that he planned on being one and done when he came here to ball out for Izzo's program. You'll get to hear exactly what Tom Izzo had to say in just a second. Also, last night at 8 p.m. on ESPN, the NBA draft lottery took place. You'll get an update on how things panned out and who exactly will be getting that coveted number one overall pick. Also, folks, the weather is getting better by the day, by the hour, by the minute here in Michigan. That means that golf enthusiasts out there will be grabbing their respective clubs and hitting the links. And hey, folks, we'll have a throwback, really cool piece done by our very own Scott Pohl, centered on golf boarding. Yeah, folks, you'll figure out what golf boarding is in just a second. Also, on the back end of the show, we will talk about Steve Kerr, and who is the head coach of course, the best NBA team out there right now in the Golden State Warriors, as he decided to weigh in on officiating reports, and he believes they throw refs under the bus. Yeah, all of that and so much more. If you want to be a part of today's show, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, folks, we start with an update concerning the softball classic, which is taking place throughout this week at Rainey Park here in Lansing, Michigan. Kennedy Geiger contributed at the plate and in the circle as well, I should say, as the Haslett Vikings posted an 11-5 victory over Laingsburg in an opening round Greater Lansing Sports Hall of Fame softball classic game Tuesday night at Rainey Park. And Bree Chapman pitched a complete game two-hitter as the Holt Rams posted a 4-1 victory over Morris at Rainey Park on Tuesday night. The semifinals are slated for today at 5 p.m. and 7 p.m., with the championship game, of course, taking place on 6 p.m. on Friday. And speaking of classic, baseball games in the diamond, the Diamond Classic, one of my favorite tournaments in high school sports, will be taking place later on this month. And the Diamond Classic field was set and kaput yesterday. Get this, Grand Ledge and Holt lead the pack and will be joined in the field by Bath, DeWitt, Fowlerville, Haslett, Mason, Portland St. Patrick, and St. John's. How about that? Again, Grand Ledge leads the pack right now at 23-1 overall. Holt at 23-5. And GL is the defending Diamond Classic champion and captured its sixth title in 7 years and 25th overall by defeating St. John's in last year's title game. This year's Diamond Classic begins on Monday with matchups between CMAC rivals Bath and Portland St. Pat and St. John's in Fowlerville. Both of those games will take place at Cooley Law School Stadium on Monday. The Michigan State baseball team dropped its final road game of the regular season 12-1 to Central Michigan on Tuesday evening. Three CMU pitchers combined to hold the Spartans to just 4 hits. Wow, that's uncharacteristic of Jake Boss's team this year. The Spartans close out the regular season this weekend with a 3-game home series versus Maryland. Because of the Big Ten tournament taking place the following week, the series will run Thursday through Saturday at McLean Baseball Stadium. One night after the Detroit Tigers put up an 8-run opening inning and had to rally late, Miguel Cabrera's first triple in 365 days sparked a 7-run seventh inning to lift the Tigers to its third straight dub with a 7-2 win over the Minnesota Twins Tuesday night at Comerica Park. Major League Baseball levied its discipline to manager Brad Ausmus about an hour before the first pitch, suspending him for one game with an undisclosed fine for his tirade on home plate umpire Doug Eddings on Monday night. Right-hander Ricky Nolasco, he is currently on the mound for the series finale, which will take place in 5 minutes at 1:10 p.m. is when the first pitch is slated to be thrown. He allowed 5 runs over 5 2/3 innings of work against the Tigers on May 1st. All right, Major League Baseball showed little tolerance Tuesday. Also for Texas Rangers second baseman Rognick Odor and his punch on the face of Jose Bautista. Now suspending Odor 8 games, the harshest penalty among 14 players and staff members disciplined for Sunday's brawl. Odor, among 4 players suspended, will appeal his suspension and remains eligible to play until the appeal is heard or he drops it. Teammate Elvis Andrus was suspended 1 game and will not appeal. He will serve it Tuesday night when the Rangers play at Oakland. And last night at 8 p.m. on ESPN, of course, the NBA draft lottery took place, and here is how it panned out. With the number 1 overall pick, you've got the Philadelphia 76ers. At number 2, the LA Lakers. Number 3, Boston. Number 4, the Phoenix Suns. Number 5, Minnesota Timberwolves. At 6, the New Orleans Pelicans. At number 7, the Denver Nuggets. Number 8, Sacramento Kings. Number 9, Toronto Raptors. Number 10, the Milwaukee Bucks. 11, Orlando Magic. 12, Utah Jazz. 13, Phoenix Suns. And 14, the Chicago Bulls. We'll have more on the NBA draft lottery in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. And get this, a piece of the floor paneling from Kobe Bryant's final game at the Staples Center was auctioned for $179,100. That's craziness, right? According to NBA Auctions website, the section was autographed by Bryant after the April 13th game and was cut into 4 pieces measuring 4 by 8 feet each. Now, the piece features a large number 8 and was made specifically for the final game of Bryant's 20-year career with the Lakers. Over $100,000 just for a piece of hardwood. How about that? And last but not least, Chris Spielman earned 4 Pro Bowl selections as the heart of the Detroit Lions defense in the early 1990s. Now, he could be calling his old team's games. How about that? Spielman will join Fox's NFL coverage this fall as an analyst. The network announced that after spending the last 14 years as a college football analyst for ESPN, Spielman will have a hand in both NFL and college football coverage on Fox. I feel like everyone is leaving ESPN, aka the mothership. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Our phone lines are open. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I will read it live here on our airwaves, or you can even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Without further ado, let's start the show.
I mean, if so, why didn't he just decide right at the end of the year?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. And it's because, that's where these kids, you got to give them a break that they don't know. He also said they don't let them shoot threes. Well, there's a reason. You know, I mean, if you... I don't think it was meant in that context at all.
Sure.
Because it was a very amicable deal. And Did I think he was going pro? Did anybody think he was going? You guys are around this all the time. Did you think he thought he was going pro throughout the year? No. I mean, not even close. So I think he meant, we sat down, we had a meeting, what are your goals? Well, would you like to be one and done? Is that one of your goals? Well, yeah.
Okay.
You know, would you like to be this and that? Well, yeah. Would you like to be a starter? Well, yeah. You know, what are your goals? And I think it was more on that. I'm not telling you guys you didn't hear it right, but I did read whatever I was given, and it was not quite like Drew said it to me when he called me, when he said he was just about what you said, that he definitely knew at the end of the year he was going. Did he say that? Because that's not what I read.
No, he's made it sound like that was his goal, though.
Well, yeah. But see what I mean now?
Yes, and that is how we start this afternoon's Current Sports. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I am your host, Al Martin. It is May 18th, 2016, and we are so honored that you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. We've got a great one in store for you. As we always do, a hot, 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 hot show. And we encourage you all to weigh in and be a part of it. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Mixed in with that wonderful compilation of Back to Life, one of my favorite old school joints right there, is, of course, the voice of Michigan State head basketball coach Tom Izzo, weighing in on Deontay Davis, making a comment that he always planned to leave Michigan State for the National Basketball Association after one season. Really surprising Spartan head coach Tom Izzo. The video, if you want to catch the visual of that rant from Izzo, Mark Snyder has it posted on the Detroit Free Press website at freep.com. And, yeah, you could just see the face of Tom Izzo when he was asked the question. He looked a bit startled, and you could tell that an epic rant was coming. Izzo said, quote, "That's not true. I don't think that's the way he meant it. I sit down with my guys. What's your goals for the year? Every kid. My manager's goal is to be one and done. My wife's goal is to be one and done. Everybody's goal is to be one and done. If so, why didn't he decide at the end of the year? That's where these kids, you've got to give them a break. He also said we didn't let them shoot threes. Well, there's a reason. I don't think it was meant in that context at all because it was a very amicable deal. Did I think he was going to go pro? Did anybody think he was going to pro? Going to go pro, I should say. Not even close, end quote. So that's coming from Tom Izzo. Again, after hearing that Davis made a comment saying that, yeah, you know, I always had it in my mind that when I came to become a Spartan here in Mitten, Michigan, that I knew that after one year, I wanted to go to the NBA. You could go many ways with this conversation. Again, Deontay Davis, he is one and done now after his freshman year of basketball. And I think the general consensus out there when evaluating the game of Deontay Davis is that the kid could have used a few more years as a Spartan, at least one more to polish up his game. He's already a physical phenomenon because he's so big, he's so athletic, and he's got a knack for the defensive end as far as blocking shots. But on the offensive end, yeah, and I've let this be known countless times, his game could be more polished. Simple as that. He could add to that repertoire when it comes to post moves because the only thing that he really had was a jump hook that became, you know, just pretty readable after a while. You know, the scouting got better on him and his offensive game slowed down when it came to just feeding him the ball and trying to create his own offense. But nonetheless, the NBA draft is all about potential. Simple as that. And even with all of the National Player of the Year awards that Denzel Valentine donned in his senior season as a Spartan, Deontay Davis is slated to go above him. So going back to Izzo's comments, though, that he really didn't believe, he doesn't believe that Deontay Davis had in his mind all along that when he came here as a Spartan that he would be one and done. Because I have to agree with Izzo. I mean, if that was the case, he would have made the declaration as soon as the season ended. As soon as the dust settled, after the Spartans went out in round one, losing and getting upset to Middle Tennessee State, why didn't Deontay Davis come out immediately and say, you know what, you already know what my plans are. I want to go to the NBA. But on the contrary, I think Tom Izzo has to come out and say this because at the same time, Michigan State, the Michigan State men's basketball program is not a program that historically churns out one and dones. And Izzo does not like the concept of, if you're not ready, I should say, if you're not ready, he does not like the concept of you coming to his program and saying peace out after 1 year. But again, there's so many factors to weigh in, whether or not a kid is ready to make that leap professionally. Maturity being number one in my book, because you have to have a certain mentality and you have to have a certain mindset to be able to deal with what comes with being a draft pick just 1 year out of college. A lot of kids just aren't mature enough to deal with that, to deal with the instant money that comes with that, to deal with the instant pressure that comes with that. I do believe that there are kids out there that can make that leap, and there are kids out there that may have the talent to, but when it comes to that muscle between the ears, they could use a few more years to hone that side of their overall stock, draft stock, if you will. So, I think Tom Izzo is a firm believer in making sure that a kid all around is ready to make that move. But again, you know, the NBA allows you after one season to declare and to make that jump. So, and again, going back to my statement, though, I think Tom Izzo has to make this statement because at the end of the day, you're talking about tradition at Michigan State. Traditionally, this isn't a program that churns out one and dones. And if you look at Davis was a guy who I didn't think was going to go that early. He certainly surprised me, at least. And, you know, we'll have to see what happens at the next level. But I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. You know, and again, the NBA draft lottery did take place last night. And right now I'm looking at, actually, a mock draft. And, yeah, a mock draft this early, right? This is coming from Fox Sports. And Fox Sports actually has Deontay Davis going to the Orlando Magic with the 11th pick in the overall draft. And then right after that, so they have two Spartans going back-to-back here with number 12th pick. They have Denzel Valentine going to the Utah Jazz. Who knows? It's a mock draft. It's so early to tell right now. Again, the draft lottery just took place last night. So to try and have a feel for what, you know, the later teams in the draft, like the high 10s going into the 20s, we don't really know exactly what's going through their minds and how everything is going to pan out. We can only guess right now, and I think Fox Sports is definitely playing a guessing game right now, and it's just feeding the fandom that is trying to figure out which college players are going to go where. But I think it's safe to say, when you look at the top order of this whole draft lottery, with the Philadelphia 76ers at number one, the LA Lakers at number two, at number three, you've got the Boston Celtics, number four, the Phoenix Suns, and five, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Heck, when you look at those first two picks, though, it's clearly between Ben Simmons and Brandon Ingram. Those two players are the best players in this draft, I think. You know, they're absolutely fantastic. Ben Simmons and his team did not make the NCAA tournament. But when you look at the overall product of what you get from Ben Simmons, it's hard to compare him to anyone out of this college stock that's making that leap this year. But heck, when you look at Ben Simmons' game, and I thought about this last night, when you look at Ben Simmons' overall game, it's hard to compare him to any player currently in the NBA. It really is. There's a few names you could throw out, but Ben Simmons he's not an exact replica of anyone currently in the NBA. And I was listening to National Pundits have this conversation last night when discussing the overall repertoire of Ben Simmons from top to bottom. Body-wise, there's a plethora of players you can bring up. But what Ben Simmons gives you with that size is pretty incomparable at the next level in the NBA. So I really think the Philadelphia 76ers are going to draft Ben Simmons. The LA Lakers will probably go with Brandon Ingram from Duke. But hey, you know, hey, you may get surprised. You never know. I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. Isaac, how you doing, my friend?
Doing well, and I'm totally with Tom Izzo. I think these aren't any sort of propaganda or any sort of comments designed to simply persuade the media and the fans in his direction whatsoever. I think Tom Izzo's spot on that Deontay Davis's comments were misinterpreted from the beginning. He said that it was known to Tom Izzo, to the Spartans, to everybody, that when he came to MSU, he set out to achieve this goal of being a one and done. And like Tom Izzo said, well, of course that's what you want to achieve. The NBA is the pinnacle of basketball existence. That's how you make millions of dollars the quickest way possible. That's how you get onto the national spotlight. That's how you become an all-time legend, by making the leap to the NBA. Now, Deontay Davis, if he thought he didn't have the skills or skill set to make that jump immediately, yeah, he might have waited another year. But apparently, he went to the draft, or he went to the draft community and heard what he thought was a positive reception to his game. So he decided, you know what, I'm going to test these waters. I think this is the best way for me to go. And apparently, a lot of people think that I'm draft ready, so I'm going to declare. I think that was the goal from the beginning, but I don't think he had it set out from the outset that he was unassumingly a one and done, that he was determined to be a one and done, even if he had a bad freshman year. You see players like that, like Cliff Robinson at Kansas, but Deontay Davis, I don't think was that from the start.
And you know what? This falls on the shoulder of the media. You know, any little statement that we hear that, this is the thing. Okay, so Davis, he made a comment saying that, yeah, that was a goal of mine. But the way it was reported in newspapers and online articles was that Davis had in his mind all along that after his freshman year, he was going to make that jump. Words, small words, can become big words and can totally be misconstrued and not perceived a certain way. And Izzo, and that's the part of the rant that you didn't hear in that montage, was that after time Izzo had said what he had said, he went on to say that, quote, that's when you guys have to do a better job, saying you guys as the media. Because the way it's being portrayed and has been portrayed in recent weeks is that Deontay Davis had this in his mind this entire year, that he was going to make that leap regardless of whatever panned out, you know? And that's why you have to be so careful in this business, to make sure that when an individual makes a comment, that you put it in the proper context. And if you're unsure of what context that individual is talking in, you follow up with a question and saying, okay, are you saying blah, blah, blah? And
yes,
I think there were a lot of blurred lines in this whole conversation, Isaac.
Well, and to be honest, I don't think it was the initial comment even that was misconstrued. I think it was placed in totally fine context. Reading the Detroit Free Press article right now, quote, I always kept in my mind that I could be a one and done. Could be. Mm-hmm. Could be. Yes. Any player who goes to play in college wants and thinks they could be a one and done if they have aspirations at going to the next level.
And I think that's interpreted as, okay, Deontay Davis knew in his mind. See,
yes,
people,
exactly.
People just
that's
jump off the bridge way too early. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that he came here thinking that I'm going to be a one-and-done kid. You know what I mean?
And it gets even better. He says, it was something I set for myself, me, and Tom Izzo. That's saying that, yes, he set that goal. That was something they obviously talked about. And we knew when Deontay Davis came to Michigan State, there was a possibility of this. That's no new startling revelation. And I achieved it, quote. It was something I had on my mind throughout the season. Obviously, the guy's trying to perform well enough to be a one-and-done player. And I misspoke last time. I said Cliff Robinson. Cliff Alexander is the example that I meant. A one-and-done at Kansas, who had a horrible and atrocious first season. And still went one and done. I believe he went undrafted and has done nothing in the NBA. Deontay Davis isn't that. That's what he wants to say. He's saying that, yes, I wanted to have the potential to be one and done. I wanted that ability to determine my own future after 1 year. And he got that. He played well enough. So kudos to him for going after 1 year. But this is something blown out of proportion. He didn't say anything controversial whatsoever.
But you know what? And I want to bring this up as well, Isaac. I believe that there is an unspoken overall negative outlook when it comes to one-and-dones, period, at the college level. Any kid who decides to go one-and-done at the college level, the immediate knee-jerk reaction from fans are, whoa, really? You're going to do us like that? Without taking in consideration all of these other factors that weigh into that decision. Again, a lot of these kids come from horrid backgrounds. If they've done their research, which, you know, you think that you do as a young kid trying to make a big decision like that. If you've done your research and you're slated to be a solid first round draft pick, and you're looking at the amount of money that's already out there for you, if you do decide to make that leap, can you blame a young kid for making that decision? Because that money can help out that kid financially when it comes to their own economic situation. It can help out their family. That money can change their world. So I never knock a kid. Never knock a kid. Fans out there have to learn to put their fandom aside when discussing. You can do that when it comes to pros, because that's another level. Those cats are getting paid hundreds and thousands of dollars to do what they do. But again, these are kids at the end of the day. I think a lot of people forget that these are college athletes. These are still kids making big decisions about their economic future. So for me, I never chastise a kid if he decides to go one and done. I look at it from an X and O standpoint. Is that kid prepared as far as his overall game is to make that leap? Yeah, you can criticize that, but never do I make it personal. And I don't. And this is a problem that I have with the NCAA amongst my countless other problems with the NCAA. If a kid makes that leap, and let's say that kid isn't ready, and they bump him down to the D League, and he's struggling in the D League, and that kid says, you know what, maybe I should have stayed in college, because we're not perfect. You know, kids make mistakes, and they realize that in their careers. Why is it just a one-track door from college to the NBA? Why can't you make the decision to come back? And I'm hammering this home countless times, because I just don't understand why a kid who realizes that he's made a mistake can't go back to college. I don't get that.
Well, unfortunately, the NBA has made strides in that level in collaboration with the NCAA. This was the first year that prospects could declare for the NBA. And if they didn't hire an agent, they could come back and say, you know what, I don't like my draft stock. I'm going to come back for another year and try to improve my standing in the NBA community. That makes sense. At the same time, I don't see why having an agent is the end-all be-all. Oh, God forbid that you hire an agent to test your draft stock and how much money you can get. No, that's natural. I think that, just like you, I can see why maybe once a player enters the professional level, maybe he isn't allowed back, but I think there are too many barriers. There's too much of a black and white line that says, once you do this, you're no longer allowed to play college. The other thing I touch on for the gratefulness of players coming to your college in the first place is there's always an alternative. There's always an alternative.
Certainly.
Look
right
at what different players have done in the history back when there was no requirement for 1 year of college. LeBron James, you think if he went to Ohio State and left after 1 year, because that's where he would have gone if he didn't declare straight for the NBA draft, do you think Ohio State would have been bickering, oh, he left after 1 year? LeBron only stayed for 1 year?
Some fans would have.
Of course not.
Some fans would have, I think,
that's
Isaac.
That's true, but that's illogical.
And it is.
You
but
look at other
when are
players,
fans ever logical? Fans,
exactly.
Fans aren't logical. They're speaking,
and that's true.
They're speaking solely from a selfish standpoint.
Oh,
what can you do for my team?
But you can still criticize them for it. And look at Thon Maker, too, a player who went across seas to Australia to play a year in the pros before coming to the NBA. There's always that possibility as well. So be grateful that the player chose the college in the first place. And if a player says, I'll be here for 4 years and then stays for one, yeah, you can criticize him for that. But with guys like Deontay Davis, you always knew an immediate jump to the NBA was a certain possibility. don't be surprised when it happens.
I don't blame the kid. Go out there and get your money, Davis. And he announced again his plan to enter the draft and sign with an agent on April 12th, 3 weeks after MSU's stunning first-round loss to Middle Tennessee State in the NCAA tournament. And Davis is the first Michigan State player to leave for the NBA after his freshman year since Z-Bo, Zach Randolph, back in 2001. Folks, phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Before we hit our first break, guys, I have a few winners and losers from last night's NBA draft lottery. First off, don't you kind of – I like how they dress up the NBA draft lottery every single year. You have, you know, you have this the 30-minute show with, you know, representatives from each team. It could be – the representative can range from an assistant coach – all the way to a current player. We even saw Isaiah Thomas representing the Boston Celtics last night. I love how they dress it up. And then you have, you know, you had Carl Anthony Towns, who is the reigning rookie of the year for this season, sitting there representing the Minnesota Timberwolves, and he's wearing his good luck charms, which happens to be Flip Saunders' wedding band. I thought that was very cool stuff. So it's always interesting seeing how they go through the top of the hour to the bottom of the hour. Again, the announcement of the teams takes what? At most 7 minutes, if that, maybe 5 minutes, to be honest with you. And, you know, it's this big, huge fiasco, but it's always entertaining because we've seen crazy things happen in the NBA draft lottery history. But we didn't see that last night, folks. It panned out just the way it was supposed to pan out, according to the probability percentages. So for me, looking at how things panned out, I have three winners for you. First off, the LA Lakers getting the number two pick. After the worst season in NBA franchise history for the LA Lakers, and of course the end of the Kobe Bryant era, LA is a team that when you look at them, they're kind of like the Dallas Cowboys of the NFL or the New York Yankees in the world of baseball. This is a team that is expected to compete for championships every single year. It's a weird period to be a Lakers fan right now, though, because, again, you don't have Kobe Bryant anymore. You don't have the greats of Laker past. And the fans of Laker fandom are looking at the situation and saying, okay, who's our next Kobe? Who's our next Shaq? Who's our next Magic? So the Lakers, they entered the draft with a 44.2% chance of landing outside of the top three in a detrimental scenario that would have, you know, force them to forfeit their pick to the Philadelphia 76ers as a result of that, if you remember, 2012 trade. But they secured the second overall pick. That's why they are a winner in my book. And they can either get Ben Simmons or Brandon Ingram, two players who I believe will have an immediate impact on whatever team they get drafted to. My other winner, of course, is the number one overall pick, the Philadelphia 76ers. Although they had the highest odds at 25% to earn the number one overall selection after posting a horrid, dreadful 10-72 record. And get this, I saw this stat that blew my mind. Over the last 3 years, over the last three seasons, folks, the 76ers have lost 199 games. That makes you want to cry, right? If you're from Philly. My goodness. But they had the number one overall pick. I think they're going to go with Ben Simmons, so they're a winner there. Also, the Boston Celtics, already a stout team, but because of a 2013 trade with the Brooklyn Nets, the Celtics landed the third overall pick, despite finishing the regular season with the Eastern Conference's fifth best record. And now they have an opportunity to add to their fantastic roster with the number three overall pick. That's game-changing right there for the Celtics. Watch out for the Boston Celtics next year, folks. Losers for me, the Brooklyn Nets. They didn't have a representative at the lottery on Tuesday night as a result of an aforementioned 2013 trade with the Celtics. So that again, opened the door for the Celtics to get that number three pick. The Chicago Bulls entered the lottery with the lowest odds among the 14 teams to get the number one overall pick, but still had a slim chance to land the Sacramento Kings pick, had it fallen outside of the top 10. It didn't, and the Bulls' hopes for two picks on draft day went completely out of the window. So those are my winners and losers. What are your takeaways from what we saw last night, Isaac?
Yeah, I brought up a stat yesterday, and I just speculated that over 6 years have passed since the number one probability team to get the number one pick, the worst team in the NBA, actually got it. Not since 2004. That's how long it's been. So this is actually quite a watershed moment for the NBA. But my loser, and this is partially a joke, but partially not, Ben Simmons. He's got to go to Philadelphia now. Who wants to be in Philadelphia if you're a basketball player? I saw something about that on Facebook, and the joke was, actually, it relates directly back to our last conversation, that Ben Simmons wishes that there's a rule that you can undeclare from the draft. This summer, I will be taking my talents back to Baton Rouge, essentially.
I don't think he'll be too sad, though, because the amount of money you make as the number one overall pick in the NBA draft, he's going to be riding high, regardless of how many losses they're going to accrue next year. Ben Simmons is about to get paid, Isaac.
Well, don't get me wrong. It's a lot of money. I would take it in a heartbeat. But at the same time, it's not as much as in the NFL. NBA really caps the rookie salaries at around $5.5-6 million a year.
But you don't forget though, with the new contract next year, the salary cap is going to rise next year. Also, the ad campaign that you mentioned on yesterday's show, that's going to bump the moolah up next year for a lot of cats.
They are, but I'm not sure if that immediately takes effect for the NBA draft. So Ben Simmons actually could be stuck into a situation where his salary is so antiquated that he doesn't catch up with all of these new boosters of revenue. So we'll see. But no, one way or another, he's not going to be hurting for a couple of Lamborghinis. He'll be fine.
Oh, he'll be. And also the endorsements this kid is going to get is going to be off the chain as well.
Already has.
Already, yep. I'm sure. All right, before we hit our first break, let's go to line one right now. We've got Mike from Saginaw that wants to chime in. Mike, how you doing, my friend?
How you doing? I was just talking to your producer, Isaac, there. Do you think everybody that comes into college basketball want to be a one-and-done player now?
Of course, everybody. Mike. Of course. Unless you play it like a – unless you know coming in that you're not going to be that guy or whatever program you go to. I mean, some of the top-end high school basketball players out there, when they're looking at and evaluating which school they want to take their respective talents – they are looking at what can you do for me as far as getting me to the NBA. And, hey, I mean, can you blame them, though, Mike? Can you really blame them?
No, you can't blame them at all. You cannot blame them at all because I believe that most of those players that's going to the camp now, their parents is expecting a bonus for letting them go pro.
Right.
Most
of course.
The parents,
yeah.
You know, they are looking for their bonus and their retirement, and they're looking for them to make their life plus. You know, I don't think if it comes down to the kids, I think some of them would not even think about going pro till they feel comfortable, but it's the relatives around them and the agents that's pushing it on them.
And you know what? I really look at it like this, Mike. The only way to really combat this quote-unquote issue, if you can even call it that. I know a lot of college coaches out there don't like the whole one-and-done situation. The only way to combat it is just open it up. And what I mean by that is, why don't we go back to the old days and let these stout high school athletes who believe that they can make that leap to the NBA, why don't we open the door for them so that we don't have to deal with college coaches bickering about having a one-and-done player and why don't you stay, so on and so forth. Open it up so that if a top high school player wants to make that leap and feels that he can make that leap, why not let him do it coming out of high school?
See, what I don't get is like the NCAA, they leg it straight now that if you don't have basketball players and football players graduate in a certain amount of time that the schools are going to get punished. But I blame this too. I mean, it's a lot of people that go to college every year that want to go to a university. Why can't it's a lot of people who play basketball that don't get scholarships from Michigan or Michigan State. But the truth of the matter is, college basketball is college basketball. It's supposed to be an education to learn how to fight. Be example for younger people. Why could they just basic off of that instead of just looking at, well, I got to win me a championship or a Big Ten conference tournament or whatever. You know, why don't they just basic off of being a learning experience and a growth thing instead of just looking for it as their selfish, the gratification of a coach or athletic department?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's all about winning at the end of the day as far as that athletic department is concerned, whatever school you're talking about. And, again, if you know, you have a kid and you have a great player that does not want to stick around because he feels as though he's going to be a top draft pick, I mean, hey, I mean, can you blame a coach who's looking at it like this? Okay, I'm losing one of my best players. Now I have to rebuild yet again. Now, you know, who could help? This is a kid who could help us win conference championships and to make deep runs in the tourney. So I get it from a coach's perspective because your job is to go out there and win. And it's hard to do that if you've got one and dones left and right. But, hey, tell that to John Calipari, right?
Yeah. Here's one more before I let you get on your break. You know Draymond Green going to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated
tomorrow. I saw that. It's a testament to how far he's come. He's unbelievable, Mike.
He's a role model.
That's true. So true.
All right, then. I'm going to let you get on your break and continue with the show.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate that. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will bring you a current sports flashback piece from our very own Scott Pohl, centered on golf boarding. I kid you not, folks. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Got to remind you all that, hey, tomorrow night at 10:30 p.m., Current Sports TV on WKAR-TV airs, and I will have the pleasure of sitting down with a legend, Jim Bibbs, the longest tenured track and field coach in Michigan State program history, who also was the first African-American head coach at Michigan State, will be my guest. I am so looking forward to this sit down, folks. During Bibbs's career, his student athletes won 52, count them, 52 Big Ten titles, earned All American honors 26 times, claimed three NCAA titles, and set two world records. Jim will join me live in studio, and trust me, you do not want to miss it. Again, Current Sports TV with guest Jim Bibbs tomorrow night at 10:30 p.m. on WKAR-TV. Before we get to this pretty cool feature from our very own Current State producer, Scott Pohl, let's go to line two right now. We've got Ray from Indiana that wants to chime in. Ray, how you doing, my friend?
Skipper, I just got back from running my 5 miles.
Oh, you are on it, Ray. You inspire me, dude. I'm hitting the gym later on this evening, so I got to get on your level.
I do 200 push-ups every day, 3/4 mile backwards. Up to 3 months, I'll be 67. You know why I do all that?
Wow. Why is that?
I got steroids in my back and fractures in my feet. But I'd like to pay the scumbags down here in Michigan, you know, about their arrogance and pride. So I'm hoping to last another 50 years to talk about them.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. I knew it was coming.
Hey, I got to talk to you about Tiger.
Go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
I couldn't believe it. I watched this the other day, 2 days ago, and he hit 3 straight balls from 90 yards out. And I know he just got off the plane or whatever, but I'm a terrible, terrible golfer, okay? Mm-hmm. And I could hit 1 out of 3 out 90 yards over the water.
Yeah, I saw that video, and he said, hey, give me another ball. I feel a bit stiff. And I did see that. You know, Tiger, and you know this, Ray. You're a longtime listener. I'm one of the biggest Tiger Woods fans you ever meet. At one point, Tiger was my favorite athlete on the entire planet, and then 2008 happened, right? But it's so weird watching this whole situation that's happened over the past 8 years with Tiger Woods and his slow but surely demise. And golf is a sport, Ray, where when you fall off, you fall off. There is no redemption tour. It's hard because you're competing against such a huge field. It was remarkable what Tiger Woods did in his heyday, in his prime, but I don't think we'll ever see the Tiger, the eye of the Tiger, if you will, that we saw in the early 2000s anymore.
You know what? I think it was the demons that caught up with him.
Yeah.
After that scandal come out in 2008, you remember when he won that tournament, the U.S. Open?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He played Rocky. He tied him with the birdie on the last hole, and he had to go 20 extra holes. They went 18 more holes of Rocky Almenia, and he ended up going another two holes. And I think it messed his legs up and his body.
I agree, yeah. Yep.
The 20 holes plus that car accident. I told people there's no way that he's not going to break Jack Nicklaus' record. The only thing that can stop him is a woman and a car accident. Both of them happened to him.
And that's exactly what happened. It messed up his just focus, you know. It messed up his mentality. You know, I don't think we'll ever see that Tiger again. Ray, thank you
so
much.
I'm going to tell you something, my friend. I'm going to tell you something. He better withdraw from that U.S. Open. That course will eat him up in 3 weeks. He's not ready to play no U.S. Open.
I don't know if he's ready either, Ray. Only time will tell. It will be fun just to see him back out there on the links, though.
Well, I know, but do you think he's going to be able to play that tough
no,
course?
No, he's not going to win that. Let's be real here.
He better just wait a while. If he comes back any earlier than he does, he's just going to destroy his body quicker.
But the question I have, Ray, is how long? You know, we've been waiting for Tiger Woods for a long time. I mean, when is he going to be ready? You know, if he doesn't play now, when? So, I don't know. I think
he had three back surgeries, though. He needs some time to heal.
How long, Ray? I mean, we haven't seen the man in, what, over a year now? It's like it's now or never, really. I think this would be a good litmus test to see just how ready he is. I think it's one of those situations you just got to go out there and see where you're at.
Well, you know, also, his dad was a military man. They said he did a lot of military things.
I was going to bring that up. Yep, I read a fan. If folks, it's one of the best pieces of journalism that I've ever read in my entire life. There's a recent article done on ESPN.com. I forget the journalist's name. It's escaping me right now. But I said, it's a lengthy piece. It took me about 45 minutes to read the whole thing. But it goes into the situation that occurred in 2008. And it goes into Tiger's relationship with his father and how Tiger, when he went through the divorce and the infidelity, he wanted to relate to his father so much. If you remember, his father did have a military background. And he decided to start hanging out with some Navy SEALs. And actually, he participated in training with the Navy SEALs. He was out there shooting guns with the Navy SEALs. And it was just it's a weird period in his life. But I encourage anyone out there, if you want to get more insight into the demise of Tiger Woods over the years, that gives you a firsthand look for sure, Ray.
Well, I'm going to tell you one more thing. His mom and dad brought him up as a Buddhist. What if your mom and dad brought you up and that you don't know about Jesus? I'm hoping that Bubba Watson, he's on the tour, he's quite a Christian, that he'll get to Tiger and he can turn his life around.
It's wishful thinking, Ray. Ray, thanks so much for the call, my friend.
God bless you, buddy.
All right. Well, let's get to this pretty cool feature here, Isaac. Our very own Scott. And the reason why I'm bringing it back is because I got a bunch of emails last week on the show concerning the world of golf and when we're going to have a golf segment. And I got a few emails concerning golf boarding. A lot, actually, there's a few courses out there, you know, that actually offer golf boarding as a form of transportation. Now, it was just one golf course last year, but that now has risen to four golf courses. One is, I'll just go through the list here. Egypt Valley Country Club, Polo Fields Golf and Country Club, Fenton Farms Golf Club, and Boyne Highlands Resort. And our very own Scott Pohl actually went out and explored what golf, this new phenomenon in the world of golf, you know, called golf boarding, how it's really taking off. Now, again, you've heard of surfing, you've heard of skateboarding, you've heard of snowboarding. Maybe you've even tried one of them or all of them, but you probably never heard of golf boarding. It's a new phenomenon in golf. Rather than walking or using a golf cart, golfers step onto a motorized skateboard-like device to get around the course. Now, it looks like a cross between an oversized skateboard and a Segway. Again, at the time, it was the only course in Michigan currently offering golf boarding in Ann Arbor. Our very own Scott Pohl went out there to check it out.
I'm at the Polo Fields Golf and Country Club near Ann Arbor to learn about the first golf boards in Michigan. Members of the club have been invited to a demonstration led by John Kensley, director of golf here and at a sister course in Ypsilanti.
We're just going to take off down the middle of number one, kind of head over by the bunker. We'll make a big soft U-turn and head on back. And this is where you see where this really is a lot of fun and very easy because you're not doing much now.
Part of Kensley's message to these folks is to not be intimidated by the golf boards, not even if you've never been on a skateboard. Operation is pretty simple. You put your bag of clubs on a small rack in front of you, and there's even a drink holder built into the Segway-like handle. The handle is really just to hold on to. You put one foot in front of the other and lean forward to turn right or lean back to turn left. It's designed to prevent jackrabbit starts and sudden stops. I drove one around for a while and couldn't tip it over, zipping around the course in no time. John Kensley.
They're much easier to operate than a lot of people might think when they first look at them. But when you add that to approximately 40 pounds with a full set of golf clubs, it's even that much easier. So it's very easy to work your way around the golf course. And I took it out and made sure that we didn't have any real challenging areas. And there wasn't any area that you couldn't get around with the maneuverability of the golf board.
Now, you have two courses, and I understand you've decided not to have these at the other course. Can you explain why?
Well, we have a little winding creek that goes through the golf course in Ypsilanti. And that golf course, the way that the bridges have been designed, have a pretty severe slope leading up to the bridge and coming off the bridge. There's just not quite enough clearance with regards to the steepness and the clearance of the golf board to go over that.
Yes.
So at some point, we may actually reconfigure those bridges to allow that to happen. But at this point, while we're still making sure that our decision was a good one to bring these on board, this is the facility that's best for that to happen at. And this is a little bit flatter facility. The great thing about these boards is a number of our members found out today is you can take them up and down very severe hills without any problem. But it still takes a while to feel comfortable that you can do that. And we definitely have more hilly terrain over at the Washtenaw Ypsilanti Golf Course.
What do you think this is going to bring to the course in terms of attracting new members, maybe? What sorts of benefits might you as a business gain from having these here?
It's a great question. I actually think having the golf boards is something that would tremendously move the needle at a daily fee. I think you get some people that aren't really sure if they want to play golf, and now they see that and say, hey, that's going to be a lot of fun. For a private course, you're more, did you make a commitment to wanting to be a part of a club? But I think when you look at if you're looking to be a member at a club and you look at all the different options that are out there and so on, one of the things you look at is this club progressive? What kind of things are they doing? And I think this is the kind of thing where you look and say, that's a club that isn't stuffy, still understands the traditions of this great game, but is willing to do some different things and so on. I think as we're talking with some of our members, I think what you might see is some of that more occasional golfer that might play 6 or 8 rounds might now play 10 or 12. So I think there'll be a business uptick for us because of it. But ultimately, I think it's just more the atmosphere and the culture that we're trying to demonstrate to our members and our future members.
Explain to me how or if someone who hears this story wants to try them. You're a private club. Is there access to the club so they can try the golf board?
We're actually doing a preview membership for the month of May. And it gives people an opportunity to test drive the membership, much in the same way we just had a test drive of the golf boards. And so that would be an opportunity to come out and for a very nominal fee be able to play both of our great golf courses, experience the golf boards as well as all the other things that our club has to offer. We are a private club, and that's important to have that exclusivity for the people that have committed to our membership. So really, if you're not a member or coming along to be a member, then as far as trying the golf boards, unfortunately, you'll have to wait for somebody else to have them. But we hope that it will bring in some new members that would love to have a chance to play golf in a little bit different way than it has been played before.
My name's Justin McNeil. I'm the golf board rep for the state of Michigan.
Since this is the first course in Michigan that has them, this must be the only course you're servicing right now, right?
That's correct. Now that the weather is broken, Polo Fields was nice enough to get on board early, and they're the first facility to have it in Michigan, and everyone's really excited.
You're expecting more, though.
Of course. It's funny that once the first adopter is in, a lot more folks are becoming interested and seeing the Facebook videos, and everyone's really excited, so I definitely anticipate more coming on board.
Give me your elevator pitch for why a golfer would want to use one of these.
I think the biggest thing is if you're going to spend 4 hours of your time these days doing any activity, that it has to be something you really love. And the game of golf has needed something to help, excite the sport a little bit. And the golf board, I think, does that, because not only are you playing golf, you get to do something active and have fun riding the course, doing some great turns. So I think people are going to like that. And otherwise, they're saying that you can get around the course in 2.5 to 3 hours as opposed to the normal 4.5-5 hour round. Because now you're going to your own ball as opposed to following everyone else.
And they're fun to use.
They are. We just did a demo here, and everyone came off and loved it. what we find at Golf Board is that people who use the golf board will return to use it 90% of the time. So I get a call usually once or twice a week from folks in Utah or California who have ridden it out there, who are asking where can they ride the golf board here in Michigan.
Golfers may someday choose the course they're going to play at based on whether they can use a golf board when they get there.
I really think that's the case. I really think that's the case. I think this is something that people are now seeing and asking, you know, what is that? And I really do think courses can differentiate themselves by having this at their facility. It's easier than it looks. The other big thing I notice is that the demographic who uses the board, one common misconception is that it's only for young people. And the guys who call me and email me looking for personal use boards are 40 to 60 years old. And it's actually a lot of the older demographic who loves using it. And the board's easy enough to use that you really don't have to be a surfer or any much athletic ability at all. You can just go and ride the board and have a good time.
The people here to try out golf boarding seem to think it could be a fun alternative to using a cart.
My name is Janine Collins.
What appealed to you about coming out for this demonstration?
They just looked fun. I saw a video that the club had posted, and I had a look at it. And, of course, they've been talking about it for a while. And, yeah, just thought it would be fun and wanted to have a look.
What did you think?
I thought it was fun. Yeah, easier than I thought. Yeah, I think with a little bit of practice, you get a little bit more comfortable and looser, and it would be even better. But, yeah, definitely fun.
My name is Richard Scott. I've been a member here at the Polo Fields for I don't know how many years, but I've got a very low number, so I was early on.
What did you think of this demonstration?
We were introduced to the concept through the video that we were all required to watch, which was very helpful. And then we were actually kind of excited to get out here and try these. And we weren't disappointed. I think my wife and I both enjoyed the experience. I've reserved one for tomorrow for a round of golf, and I can't wait to get out and try it. They're very user-friendly. I was a little worried about, you know, being able to handle it. Am I going to fall off of this thing? But actually, after just a few minutes, I think the danger will be not to get too confident too quickly. So I'm going to just go slow tomorrow.
I'm Diane Heiss.
And you're also a member here?
I've been a member for about, I'd say, 12 years now.
Were you ever a surfer, skateboarder, snowboarder before trying this today?
Not a snowboarder, but I did a lot of skiing, so I was really anticipating something a little bit different. And boy, this was great. It was really fun to get on that board and move around.
Were you someone who approached this opportunity to try it with some trepidation, or were you really looking forward to it coming out here today?
Well, I really wanted to try it, but I also didn't want to embarrass myself by falling off. And I'm very happy to say I wasn't going to fall off. I felt very secure, very safe.
Golf boarding looks like a lot of fun, but it is different from walking or riding a cart. I'd speculate that all the leaning forward and backward to steer it will amount to a core workout that many golfers aren't used to. I also felt it in my arms, but that's due in part to the natural inclination to pull the handle to steer, even though that doesn't really steer it. That might go away once you're fully used to shifting your weight to steer. It won't be for everybody. Can golf boarding attract people who have never set foot on a golf course? Proponents hope that it might draw new and younger players to the game. Maybe today's snowboarders, shredding mountains of snow, will be tomorrow's golf boarders, zipping around America's courses. From the Polo Fields Golf and Country Club near Ann Arbor, this is Scott Pohl for Current State.
All right, and again, there are now four golf courses that offer that service, golf boarding here in Michigan. Thanks so much, Scott. All right, folks, we'll be back at it on tomorrow afternoon. Folks, we got a great one in store for all of you out there. You don't want to miss it, as we will invite Taylor Rooks from the Big Ten Network to the show. You don't want to miss that show. All right, folks, we must bid you all adieu. Thanks so much for tuning in to this edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870. East Lansing, as always, take care and be easy, people.